Hello, everybody. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. We have a short chapter today. We will call this chapter The Rebuilding Begins Anew. The context is this. In our previous chapter, chapter 4, adversaries of the returning exiles from Babylon, adversaries from around Jerusalem and Judah, caused the rebuilding of the temple to cease. The Jews had laid the foundation in 536 B.C., celebrating, offering burnt offerings, and then the neighbors began to create opposition, and so the building stopped. Now, in this chapter, chapter 5, the rebuilding is going to begin anew. We start with Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. When the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, now these are the two minor prophets that are in the scriptures, Haggai, of course, and Zechariah, there are lots of Zechariahs in the Bible, but this is the canonical Zechariah. When they prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. Haggai and Zechariah supported Jeshua and Zerubbabel. All right, just as a review, Zerubbabel is the political leader of the Israelites in Judah and Jerusalem, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, Jeshua is the high priest. So you had the civil and religious authorities, but you wonder, why were they not building between 536 and the time of the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah? Well, we had opposition. We mentioned that in the last chapter, but also if we read the book of Haggai, we find out that the book tells us that the work slowdown was not just from enemies' opposition. It was also from the people's attitudes. They were building paneled houses for themselves while the temple lay in ruins. Verse 3 says, at that time, Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the river, and Shethar Bozenai and their colleagues came to the Israelites and spoke to them. Well, we can see from this and the story that follows that Tattenai and his colleagues were not hostile to the Jews. As an internet commentator named Pratt, P-R-A-T-T-E, pointed out to me, they were just doing their job as a good government official. This was especially necessary because Darius had just taken over the reign, because King Darius is who they're going to report to. He's Darius I of the Persian Empire. He ruled from 521 to 486. And the restart of the building of the Second Temple was in 520, a year after Darius began his reign. And there was political unrest all through the empire at the start of Darius's reign as he tried to consolidate his rule. And so there might be rebellion down there in Jerusalem. And so Tattenai and his buddy, his fellow official Shethar Bozenai, they were going to sniff it out. But they were very objective about the whole process, we must say. Now, Tattenai was in charge of the province beyond the river. That's what the Persians called it. The river, of course, was the river Euphrates. And so he was in charge of Syria and Palestine. So he was a bigger shot than Zerubbabel was. Zerubbabel was just in charge of Judah under the Persians. And Tattenai was in charge of Zerubbabel under the Persians. Now, this Shethar Bozenai that I mentioned, he was probably just an assistant to Tattenai. So Tattenai and Shethar Bozenai go to the Jews and they say, who issued you a decree to rebuild this temple? They're probably talking to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the two leaders of the Jews. That's probably who they were talking to. And we see later on that the answer, which is the obvious answer, is Cyrus the Great gave us permission to build this temple. It's not mentioned here, but later when Tattenai and Shethar Bozenai go back to Darius and report the conversation, they mention that the Jews had told them this in Ezra 5:13. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, he issued a decree to rebuild the house of God. So that's what the Jews answered. That's the logical answer. That's authority, legitimate authority. Now in verse 4, Ezra records, then we told them accordingly what the names of the men were who were reconstructing this building. That's the New American Standard Bible translation, and it introduces a problem here because who's the we? It makes it sound like that whoever was writing this book here, this chapter, namely Ezra, was there on the scene talking to Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai. But the problem is this is around 536, after 536, somewhere between 536 and 520, and Ezra didn't show up to 458, excuse me. So, can't be Ezra. Well, so how do we solve this problem? Well, first of all, it's a translation problem. There's two options that it could either be translated this way, as the NASB has it, then we told them. If you take it that way, as Benson and Colin Delitzsch do take it, this shows that whoever wrote it was there present at the time of the conversation with Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai. That person must have written it down, and then Ezra took the eyewitness account and put it in his book. Now, the KJV also translates it that way. Then said we unto them after this matter, what are the names of the men that make this building? That's even more confusing. I'm not even going to go there with the KJV. Let's just go with the other option, is that the we should be translated they, as the Cambridge commentator goes into great detail to explain why. And if you have it that way, then you are saying in verse 4 that Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai are asking for confirmation. If you take the sentence as a statement and not as a question, then we, Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai, told them, i.e. the Jews, what the names of the men were who were reconstructing this building. In other words, we know who it is. These are the two names. That's right? Well, I don't think so, but I just introduced the second problem here. Is this a question or is it a statement? Well, the NASB has a statement and the pronoun is a we. If you take the pronoun as a they and turn it into a question, as four translations I have do, it makes perfect sense. And so I'm going with that. Ezra 5:4, according to the Holman Christian Study Bible, they, i.e., Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai, they also asked the Jews, what are the names of the workers who are constructing this building? Perfect sense. Ezra 5:4, what are the names of the men who were building this structure? So you got the two officials asking the Jews, who's building this thing? Ezra 5:4, Bible in Basic English. Then they, i.e., Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai, said these words to them, to the Jews, what are the names of the men who were at work on this building? Ezra 5:4, Darby translation, and they, Tatenai, Shethar-Bozenai, said to the Jews after this matter, what are the names of the men that built this building? So I think that solves the problem. It's not a very big problem, but it's solved. Now in verse 4, the Jews told the two officials, they didn't squawk and say, what right have you got to ask us who's building this building? Well, they couldn't really hide it anyway, but they were very polite about it apparently. Doesn't sound like there was any animosity or friction. Verse 5, but the eye of their God was on the elders of the Jews, and they did not stop them. Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai did not stop the Jews building the temple until a report could go to Darius, and then a written reply be returned concerning it. So they didn't know how to deal with this temple, and so they were going to get advice from upstairs, from Darius, King Darius in Babylon. Now the question which was asked by the two officials, who issued you a decree? In verse 4, we see that that was not directly answered. They told them the names of the men, namely Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the governor and the high priest. They answered the two Persian officials that way, but they didn't answer in a way that you would think would be logical. Cyrus the Great gave us the authority to rebuild this temple. Well, actually, they did respond that. It just wasn't recorded here. If we drop down to verse 13, when the two officials, Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai, are talking to Darius about this situation, they reported to Darius what the Jews had said to them. And in Ezra 5:13, we read this. This is what the two officials are telling Darius. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, he issued a decree to rebuild the house of God. That's a report of what the Jews had told the two officials. This is what the Jews had said. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, he issued a decree to rebuild the house of God. So they answered in a logical way. They were very polite, and they mentioned the legitimate authority they had to rebuild the temple. Now, Tatenai and Shethar-Bozenai were not hostile to the Jews, as we see here. They weren't indigenous to the hostile Samaritans. They were Persian officials ruling the territory, the province beyond the Euphrates. So they were not opposed to the Jews as much as the local Samaritans were, the indigenous population which had been imported by the Assyrian Empire. Now, the fact that the officials were so loosey-goosey about this and so nice about it in a time of political turmoil, this shows that the Jews shouldn't have let the hostile influence of their neighbors stop them in the first place. They should have kept right on building. But as Haggai reports, they were building paneled houses for themselves instead of rebuilding the temple. So we go now to Ezra 5, verses 6 through 10. This is the copy of the letter which Tatanai, the governor of the province beyond the river, and Shethar-Bozenai and his colleagues, the officials who were beyond the river, sent to Darius the king. They sent a report to him in which it was written thus, "To Darius the king, all peace. Let it be known to the king that we have gone to the province of Judah, to the house of the great God, which is being built with huge stones, and beams are being laid in the walls, and this work is going on with great care and is succeeding in their hands. Then we asked those elders and said to them thus, 'Who issued you a decree to rebuild this temple and to finish the structure?' We also asked them their names so as to inform you, and that we might write down the names of the men who were at their head." And of course, the names of the men who were at their head is Jeshua, or Joshua. He's also known as Joshua. Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, sometimes written as Jehozadak instead of Jehozadak. It's the same guy. And that's the high priest. And the governor, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Now, the two officials, Tatanai and Shethar-Bozenai, when they reported to Darius about this temple that is going up, they called it the house of the great God, the great God. Now, that doesn't mean that Tatanai and Shethar-Bozenai believed in Yahweh. It just means that Yahweh was the chief local god of the region in their eyes, because every region had a local god. And so they called him the great God. It's ironic, though. They're really describing Yahweh pretty well, even though they didn't understand who Yahweh was. We go now to Ezra 5, verses 11 through 17, and we will finish this chapter. "Thus they," this is still the two officials talking to Darius, "thus they," the Jews, "answered us," Tatanai and Shethar-Bozenai, "answered us, saying, 'We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and finished.'" Of course, that was Solomon back in the 10th century. "But because our fathers had provoked the God of heaven to wrath, he, that's Yahweh, gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean," the Babylonian Chaldean is just another way to say Babylonian, "who destroyed the temple and deported the people to Babylon." That happened in 586 BC. "However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon," now Cyrus ruled from 559 to 530 as king of Persia, but as king of Babylon, when he captured Babylon, that was 539, not 559. So in the first year of Cyrus, that would be 539, King Cyrus issued a decree to rebuild this house of God. And of course, the next year, the Israelites, or some of them at least, left Babylon to return to Israel. So the two officials continued telling Darius. Also, they're quoting what the Israelites had told the two officials, and he's relaying the quote to Darius. They, Tatanai and Shethar-Bozenai, are relaying that quote, that quotation, to Darius. "Also, the gold and silver utensils of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple of Jerusalem and brought them to the temple of Babylon, these King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon, and they were given to one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had appointed governor." So that's exactly what happened. We've already gone through this in the first part of the book of Ezra. The Jews are telling it straight to the two Persian officials. Verse 15, "He," that Cyrus, "said to Sheshbazzar," and by the way, people don't know who the Sheshbazzar is. I'll talk about some solutions later, but he was the guy that was in charge of all the temple gold, etc., that was taken back to Israel. "He," Cyrus, "said to Sheshbazzar, 'Take these utensils, go and deposit them in the temple in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt in its place.' Then that Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the house of God in Jerusalem." And of course, that was 536 B.C., "and from then until now," whatever now is between 536 and 520, "and from then until now it has been under construction, and it is not yet completed. Now if it pleases the king," again, this is the Jews talking to the two Persian officials who are relating their request to King Darius, "now if it pleases the king," the Jews said, "let a search be conducted in the king's treasure house, which is there in Babylon, if it be that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to rebuild this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send to us his decision concerning this matter." Actually, verse 17 is not a continuation of the quotation of the Jews. This is the straight, direct quotation of Tatanai and Shethar Bozenai, who are asking Darius. Let me read it again, verse 17. Now, if it pleases the king, let a search be conducted in the king's treasure house, which is there in Babylon, if it be that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to rebuild this house of God at Jerusalem. And let the king send to us his decision concerning this matter. In other words, if there was a decree, the edicts of the Persians, they can't be revoked, is true, okay, we'll let the Jews continue with their building. So, Darius, please check your records. Now, the Jews answer Tatanai and Shethar Bozenai quite properly by appealing to the authority of Cyrus. I mean, you can't get any higher than that. The emperor said we could build this temple. That's the answer the Jews should have given their hostile neighbors when their hostile neighbors said, hey, you can't rebuild this temple. What's the matter with you? They should have just turned around and said, King Cyrus said we can build it, so suck it up. But they didn't do that. And the reason they didn't, I'm sure, is because they were too busy building paneled houses for themselves, as Haggai tells us. Well, Haggai and Zechariah and their prophecies had changed the people's attitude towards rebuilding, and now they were hot to rebuild. That's what prophets do. They stir people up to godly service, to godly attitudes. All right, one minor detail here. Again, the Jews had told Tatanai and Shethar Bozenai that it was Sheshbazzar that Cyrus had given all the temple furnishings to. Who is this Sheshbazzar? In verse 16, Sheshbazzar is said to come and laid the foundations of the house of God in Jerusalem, so he must have been an important person. Well, nobody knows for sure. I've got five possibilities. Option number one, he may have been a Persian official whom Tatanai would respect. Option number two, he may have been a Jew who was the first governor of Judah before Zerubbabel became governor. Option number three, some say it's just another name for Zerubbabel. Option number four, some say it's Ezra. Adam Clark suggests this. Option number five, Sheshbazzar was a Persian military official who led the Jews back. Well, with all those options we can see, nobody really knows, and I don't know. But I do know that we have finished chapter 5 of Ezra. That prepares us to go to chapter 6 of Ezra, and we will see the temple finished and rededicated. So I hope you stay tuned for that happy event in the next chapter, and I hope you enjoyed this audio.